Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That, friends, was the voice of one of the more cogent people to walk the earth, Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Together, we, the Brieflies, keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Let's introduce the Brieflies and our guest. Engineering the show from behind the board of the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, right outside the windows of the studio, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas Roughneck, and current treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. It's really cool to have everybody here in the studio this morning. Wow. All except Bruce.
Hoo-hoo. We got one Zoomer. We'll get to that.
Yeah, cool.
For sure. Hey, sitting next to Truman and right across the table from me, since I'm actually in the Gene Bosch studio, I know it's shocking to know, but here I am. Hey, mediator, moderator, and the man with more job experience than Carter has pills, Craig Bellis. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. It's great to be here once again.
Absolutely. Also with us today, zooming in, historian extraordinaire, our globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy and official party animal, Bruce Hallman. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yes, we can almost hear Bruce.
Ooh. I got to bump you up a little, Bruce.
Okay, we're tuning, say, one,
right.
Two, three.
Good to be here.
There we go. Now we got you.
Okay, very good. Also here today is our own future over water travel savioress, Amy Dreyer.
Well, that's not an intro at all. that's a setup.
Yeah. Well, you said you were going to juice up your intro resume for us. You got to get on that. You got nothing else going on.
No. I'm on my hands these days. I'll tell you what.
Just to let you know, we all have high expectations, we're also here for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Absolutely.
Shared.
Yes. Let's also welcome our small talk guest, Dig Deep Gardens event manager, petition signature gathering expert, and Vachon Earth Day 2024 host. Welcome, Tammy Stone.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. Mine is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, striving to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. Let's see. Per our usual practice, let's take a moment to check in with everybody about what special things you experienced this past week. Craig, you've been busy?
Well, yeah. Nothing horribly important. Poker game where I succeeded, came out with a net profit. That was always good over at my neighbor Hugh Turner's house. Celebrated my birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
I was overserved by myself because it was at my house. So it took me a little while to recover. My next day was a little, I was going to go wine tasting at Palouse, but wasn't up for it the next day. Mm-hmm. Had to wait till Sunday to go wine tasting.
Okay, yeah.
And then went to church. We can talk about that a little bit later.
CHRCH Church.
Yes, exactly. Great show. And got my driver's license. When I was about to turn in my taxes, I was going to make a bank transfer, and they asked for all this information about your driver's license. And one of them was the expiration date. And the expiration date was my birthday, which was 2 days
later
from the date on which I was filling this out. So I just to break the cliche, I went over to the DMV in Seattle, and in West Seattle, they got me in and out of there probably in less than 5 minutes.
Whoa.
Wow.
And they were all just as happy and courteous as I've ever seen people. It worked exactly the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can switch those people with the ferry people.
Hey. Good thing Amy's here.
Well, that's my week.
Awesome. Sounds great. Amy, so is that a good idea there, Craig, to swap those teams?
Hey, think, you know what?
Maybe.
Our motto is let's try stuff, right? The Fairy Action motto is let's try it and see what happens. Yeah. It's such a good motto for government, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's enough things that have failed, so we may as well, you know, see what mm-hmm. can, you know, what goes forward. Mm-hmm. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, see what's new. We did our taxes, and oof, mm-hmm. it was a tough year for taxes, tough month because property taxes and taxes. So I'm interested to hear about this poker racket that Craig has going on because I'm very interested in the cash economy on Vashon mm-hmm. and learning more about that. So hit me up, anyone.
Well, let me ask, are you a poker player?
Badly online.
You're invited.
Particularly, very encouraged to have you show up with plenty of cash.
Uh-huh, and the hustle begins.
Yeah. I think we're being strung along there a little bit.
I think so. Sounds like a little was Minnesota Fats.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Truman, it sounds like you might have been out on this poker game too.
Well, the amount that Craig came out ahead is the amount that I lost.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I should have just given him the money directly. Been a lot easier, you know. But
we'll do that next time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And of course, I went to the CHRCH church as well. And mm-hmm. What a hoot. And as far as the taxes go, I did my taxes. Well, I had my taxes done, but I have a little algorithm that I use to figure out how much my tax should be, and I pay it, you know, quarterly over the year.
Oh yeah, okay.
Well, I really screwed up.
Oh boy,
and I overpaid big time, and of course I had already marked the little box that says, "Oh, just apply it to next year," right?
Okay.
I'm not going to owe any tax for next year. I mean, no, I will, but I really blew it. So anyway, that's my tax story.
Better over than under. I'm going to tell you that sitting in this chair right
now. True. I know this part.
Yeah. When you mentioned an algorithm, I was wondering if it was an algorithm that if you just came in under a certain amount, the IRS wouldn't audit you.
That's kind of where it works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we should talk.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome, Tammy. How has your week been going?
Oh, it's been going really well. I did go to church.
Nice.
Yeah, and Paul Simon is here on the island.
Oh, yeah. Was that great?
So good. And one of the thing that stood out the most for me this week, I was driving down the road up of, you know, the very top of 204.
Mm-hmm.
And these horses that have been in this field with me forever start racing my car.
Ooh.
And I'm going faster, they're going faster, and then the pasture kind of slopes down and they took a turn and didn't follow me all the way, but their manes flowing back.
Oh, man.
And it was the first time that's ever happened.
Wow.
And so I've kept replaying that image in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the sad things about that was one of my first thoughts was, I got to record this. Where's my phone?
Camera.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
So you'll have to just keep that fond memory. Yes. And I'll have to tell you a story about that. I'll tell it right now. Susie and I were in Hawaii, and we drove by this cow with these amazingly long horns. And it's like, stop, take a picture. And it's like, oh, we left the camera in the hotel room. And she's really bummed out. And I said, I would love to have a photo of that. And I say, well, every 10 minutes after that, I would say, how about that cow? And today, I mean, it's been 2 decades. How about that cow? And she's got it in her head.
I have to add another little story. We were on vacation. We were down in Jamaica. And whenever you get off a boat or whatnot in a port in Jamaica, you're inundated with cab drivers and tourist people and stuff. And this one, we went through the whole crowd. I told my kids, I go, my wife, I said, let's just keep walking and we'll walk to the end. And way off at the very end, there's a fellow leaning up against a taxi cab. Doesn't say a word, nothing. And I go, oh, are you available? And he goes, oh, yeah, man, I'm available. Man. But to make a long story short, his name was Lincoln Kennedy. We got in the, which is a whole other story. We got in his taxi cab and we went up into the Blue Mountains. Because we didn't want to go to all the regular tourist spots. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for my camera. I couldn't find my little digital camera at the time. And I go, oh, damn, I don't have my camera. And he goes, seeing is believing, man. Seeing is believing.
I like
motto
it.
Motto to live with.
I like it.
Bruce, tell us how your week has been going.
Oh, it's been a good week. We this weekend, we actually laid out the exhibit, the new exhibit in the museum for the first time. And it's sort of like, you know, you work for, we've been working a year and a half, 2 years, sort of getting this exhibit down. And to actually see it up on the walls, I mean, it's rough and it's sort of, you know, it's printed on paper and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's sort of... you know, it takes your breath away to sort of start seeing things like that. It's like building a house when you're working with architectural drawings and you sort of see, and then you see the house actually being built and it's sort of like, wow, or it could be the other way.
What have we done?
And of course, all the things that, you know, as you walk through it and you sort of think, all the things that you missed, all the things that should be there that aren't there. And so, but it's part of that process. So it's going to be very spectacular. But that was mostly the weekend for me. That and because it was a nice, warm, sunny day, starting to get the covers off the boat, starting to wash away the green stuff that grows over the winter, you know, starting to think about getting a sailing program going again. So all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it feels like there's hope. You know, the sun is out, the flowers are out. You know, the trees are blooming, so we may actually get to summer.
Yay.
Nice, nice. Well, we came in on Sunday, and the Vashon is floating nicely right there. We didn't add a dent or anything on our way in, just getting the hang of, you know, this spring boating season.
That's always good, Kevin.
Absolutely, yes. So, let's, you know, for me, I had a chance to go up and do a little bit of a workout this morning. I thought, well, maybe I'll ride my bike up to town. I look out, and I hear rain. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? And I look out, the deck is wet, but there's no rain coming down. But I say, well, it must be rain coming off the roof into the downspout. So I say, well, okay, I'm going to give it a shot and get on the bike. And so, yeah, it was great. You know, sun's out now. And riding home up Shawnee, the pileated woodpecker, hammering away, looking for breakfast. And that's always such a magical sound for me. So, and reminds me of Earth Day, which is what we'll be talking about shortly. So, hey, today, of course, is significant as are all days. Today is the day after Federal Income Tax Day. I'm sure everybody's celebrating that. It's also National Eggs Benedict Day and National Healthcare Decision Day. It seems like those kind of go together in my mind. And in history, in 1889... Charlie Chaplin was born on this day. And in 1935, Glenn Miller introduced the world to the swing sound.
Do you know the story about him, by the way?
You'll have to tell us.
Well, I'll make it brief. But he was looking for this particular sound. He knew the sound that he wanted, but he just couldn't get it. He sounded like every other band. His band sounded like every other band. And he was getting ready to play this one song, and he's... lead trumpet player split his lip. Ooh. And he went, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So he had the sax section pick up the lead. And when they did, he went, oh my gosh, that's the sound I've been looking for.
Amazing.
So if you listen to Glenn Miller, you'll hear the sax carrying the load with the trumpets coming in the background. Anyway, it's kind of a cool story, I thought. Anyway, there it is.
I was hoping that given the musicality of this this group here that we'd get some kind of a story about that. So there awesome. All right. Well, hey, let's shift over to our small talk guest, Tammy Stone, and the upcoming Earth Day. So, Tammy, but first, before we get into Earth Day, tell our listeners a little about yourself, your journey that landed you here on Vashon.
Well, let's see. I moved here in 1979. And from the time it took me to get off the boat to the four-way stop, I'd made up my mind. And you know, all the mailboxes were painted up kind of cool. Mm-hmm. There were long-haired hippie people everywhere. And it was, yeah, and it just worked out. We had just bought this car from my friend's brother, but we hadn't paid for it. and it was $200. This woman slid mm-hmm. into us, and she did not want us to call the police, so she handed us $200.
Ooh.
We're like, what? We got a free car.
You should be going to the poker games.
Yeah.
And then that day I came over here, and in the Beachcomber, there was a cabin down on Luana Beach that had $75 a month, and they wanted first, last, and a $50 damage deposit.
Oh, man.
Sealed the deal.
Sounds like karma just right off the bat. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Been here a long time.
Nice. And I think, Bruce, you were going to jump in with a question for Tammy.
Yeah. So, Tammy, so you're organizing this Earth Day celebration at Dig Deep Garden. Mm-hmm. It's this Saturday, correct?
That's right. From 12:30 to 8.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going to go on, and also tell us a little bit about what inspires you about Earth Day, and what do you hope people will walk away from this event inspired with?
Well, you know, there's been so many Earth Days, and some of them haven't been, I mean, they've been fun, but have they really been successful? Because, yeah, I don't know. Things, people are still going extinct, and the world is still kind of spiraling. And so this year we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have, 14 nonprofits, and not just nonprofits, but environmental groups and VEGA and just folks that are out there actually doing stuff. And what I'm really hoping that will happen is that people will come in for the music or the food or the beer or to hear Michael Mead, and they'll get to meet people from all these different organizations that are actually making things happen, that are accomplishing things on the island and also in Indonesia. And so that they can meet people and say, oh, I'll get to see Kevin if I go do the blah, 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 blah. And it makes it a little less intimidating instead of just walking in cold with people you don't know or haven't met. And also I'm hoping that the organizations can have a real list of this is what we need, this thing. And then someone walking by can be like, I can do that. I'm really good at that one thing. You know, maybe it's social media. Maybe it's planting trees. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. We all have so many different talents to be able to plug them in. So that's what I'm really hoping is going to happen this year. People are going to make new friends. They're going to feel comfortable about getting involved. And yeah, and I know we'll have fun. So,
and you mentioned Indonesia. So is the Tompatika
yes.
group going to be okay?
Yeah, they'll be there. That. Galen.
Yeah, and
nice.
That's a group that Jack Barbash actually started.
Oh,
and
okay. I know Marcy Summer. I think Marcy came and talked to us on the briefly some time mm-hmm. ago. Yeah,
that's right.
But a really interesting thing. Well, Tammy, you mentioned a number of things, but what exactly kind of events are going to be going on?
Well, actually, my friend who was doing the opening ceremony, mm-hmm. she got a much better gig. She's mm-hmm. going to the farm in Tennessee to see Rising Appalachia. So I'm kind of looking for someone to do the opening circle. Mm. But then we're going to have a harpist. We'll have poets. Mm. J.D. Hobson is going to be the first musician. He comes on at 1:30. And then Michael Mead will come on at 2:30. And, you know, Michael is a mythologist and so good at weaving stories into action, into people drumming and singing together. And he will be bringing us stories from around the world, from around the different centuries about our connection to the planet. And And then at 4 o'clock, we have Rebecca Kuzman and Joe Panzetta from, oh, and Dan Tyvek too, who's going to be playing pedal steel guitar. They all play in St. Ophelia. They're going to be playing. They come on at 4. And then at 6 o'clock, there's a new band on the island. It's the Colette Jones Band. And oh my gosh, she's on Spotify, and she is so amazing. I'm sure the whole band is great. But if you get a chance, look her up on Spotify, and they'll come on at 6 o'clock. And then we'll just fade away. Hopefully before too long.
Into the sunset.
Into the sunset.
So you said there will be food and refreshments as
well?
Yes,
okay. The Octopus Bar will be happening. And we have great wines. We've got good beer. And also the Safa and Elad from the Syrian Grill, the Syrian food truck. They'll be there serving Syrian food.
Excellent. So, Tammy, I know you've been involved with Earth Day celebrations on Vashon at least as far back as 2018, because that's when we worked together on the second Vashon Climate Action Group Earth Day, if I remember right. And that was at the high school, of course. I'm wondering, how many Earth Day celebrations have you organized or helped organize?
A lot.
And how far back does that go?
Well, you know, when we were doing Earth Fair, and we did Earth Fair for 10 years. And I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but it was pretty fantastic. 3 days of music and dancing. And For 10 years, we pulled it off. Pretty special. It was a special time in my life. And there was so much hopefulness. And yeah, we've got this. This is going to change the world. And that started in 97.
Okay.
And we always did an Earth thing, an Earth Day thing, too.
And so Earth Fair, tell me again where that was located on the island?
Up at Paradise Ridge Park.
Paradise Ridge Park, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Because I do remember many, many years of Earth Fair.
Yeah.
That was going on.
We had camping, and that was nice.
Mm-hmm, cool.
That brings up a question. I actually have a couple of questions for you, Tammy. One is, were you involved in the Earth Fair when the Republican...
Oh, yeah.
Picnic was the same weekend.
The
yeah.
Now, that was something, wasn't it?
That was so fun. I thought it was fun. But, you know, Tom Stewart was really supportive of us. Mm-hmm. He let me borrow his great big water truck for, you know, fire suppression.
Nice.
Yeah, he let us park in his fields, and he let us use the bus. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there was all these right wing, is that okay? All these Republicans on one side and all these dreaded hippies on the other side, and they're sharing the same bus. And they're both getting off on opposite sides of the street saying, man, there was a lot of weirdos on the bus.
Each group was saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say both sides were saying that.
That's
funny. By the way, there was a disclaimer in the introduction. So you can say almost anything except for the 7 deadly words.
right, yeah, if you're moved, to do that.
That's right. You know, DIG is such a great forum for various kinds of events and entertainment. I've had the pleasure of probably being there a couple dozen times, and I've always enjoyed it very much. Are there some other events at Dig Deep Gardens that you've got on your schedule here coming up this spring or summer?
Well, where should I start?
Oh my, I'm looking. I'm looking at a list here. That's
well, let's see. On Thursdays, we always have dogs and drinks.
Well, tell us about dogs and drinks. What is that? I mean, you know, that's not for drinking dogs. That's for
We turn the whole back of the venue into an off-leash dog park.
Oh, nice.
And so people can come hang out with their dogs, and the dogs run around and play, and the people hang out and play, and everybody has a really good time. And that starts at 5 on Thursdays. And then on the 27th, we're having the Scotty Johnson Band. It's a trio with, Lauren Sinner's going to be sitting in for the bass player. I forget his name. And Dan Cadman on drums and Scotty Johnson playing lead guitar and singing. The Scotty Johnson Trio. And then...
That's Friday, is that?
No, that's next Saturday.
Oh, next Saturday.
27th.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. No, Friday I'm going to be getting ready for
that's
Earth
right.
Day. And then we have music every single weekend in May. And we also have Sip and Paints once a month on Thursdays, which is a super cool thing. People come in and they sit in the greenhouse, and Michelle talks them through and shows them how to paint a painting. Mm. And it's so amazing. All these paintings come out, and they're all the exact same, but all so different. And that's a real good draw. People have a great time doing that. Mm. And the first weekend in May is this Viva Studio Tour. And I have the extremely talented and super amazing Pam Ingles will be in the greenhouse the first two weekends. On the 10th, we have The Duration. On the 17th, we have River Bend. On the 18th, we have John Whaling and Friends. On the 23rd, we have Sip and Paint. On the 25th, we have Homestead Honey. And on the 31st, I have Phil Royal. So, all different kinds
busy,
of
busy calendar.
Yeah, that's a great lineup.
Yeah, and that's just May.
I'm tired. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm tired already. Yeah. Let's get going. Speaking of summer, let's do this.
Got weeks before summer begins.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic.
Is there a calendar, by the way?
There should be.
No.
On the interwebs?
Yeah, okay. Can we see the schedule somewhere?
Yes, I'm going to make it, and I'm going to put it on the website, and I will put it up on the on social media.
Okay.
But, you know, can we get back really quickly to about something about Earth Day, what I would like to see happen?
Mm-hmm.
And also, somewhere along the line of humanity, we've all bought in to the idea that everything in nature doesn't have a consciousness. You know, for the longest time, it was only human beings had consciousness. And now, you know, in the last 30 years, turns out animals seem to have a lot more consciousness than we ever gave them credit for. And there's absolutely no reason to believe that everything in nature doesn't have a consciousness. And so if just for one day people could try that on, I think it could change things. I know a lot of times, because I've been a professional gardener for 30-some years, and so many times I'm unsure about how to prune something, and I'll be like, and I'll just ask the plant, okay, what should I do here?
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon my hands are just doing it. And then the next year, man, that looks perfect. So I know that there's something to it.
Mm-hmm. I would say indigenous cultures, which Bruce can talk about, might share that perspective. Bruce, I don't know if you wanted to jump in with a question here.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's always struck me, you know, in working with the Puyallup tribe a lot, particularly through the museum, you know, in talking about when Native people came here. And, you know, and for us, you know, it's an anthropological, well, they came down the Kelp Highway, or they came through the Ice-Free Corridor, and there's all this sort of archaeological evidence. But most Native people say they've been here for time immemorial. Which means forever. And what in working with the Puyallup tribe, the way it's explained to me is it's sort of they are they were here with the Ancient Ones. And the Ancient Ones are the folks, if you will, who interchange between human form and animal form.
Mm-hmm.
They just moved back and forth in that world. It was a world of spirit, not necessarily a physical world. And when you understand that sort of indigenous perspective, all of a sudden, Tammy, it goes right back to what you're saying. You know, everything has a consciousness. Rocks, trees, air, water, you know, animals, human beings. And in effect, they're all interchangeable. And so that sort of time immemorial and that concept of the Ancient Ones, you know, that we're one at one point. It's just, it's a very interesting perspective. And it's very different than the Western perspective of things that we understand scientifically and through archaeology and anthropology and things like that. So, that's the way I approach it. And it's like you say, Tammy, it's transformative when you start thinking that way.
And it's true. You know, when I'm at home, I realize that the air that I just sucked into my lungs probably came out of that slug that I just threw across the yard.
Slug breath. Oh, no.
Slug breath. Or, you know, the atoms that make up my body. I've got Genghis Khan atoms. I've got Mother Teresa atoms. I've got, you know, nothing's new. It just keeps going around and around in different forms.
Mm-hmm. Well, science is starting to catch up with that. Quantum physics, quantum mechanics. There's more and more of that understanding, I think, that even strict scientists are starting to recognize may be very valid.
But when you were describing all this consciousness, you mentioned rocks and humans, and I thought to myself, I know some humans that have just the same consciousness as rocks. Sorry, but, you know, that is true.
So, Tammy, I know that if people show up at Earth Day and they stop by the Vashon Climate Action Group booth or table, they're going to be able to answer a question. What do they think is the most important environment or climate action that they can take right now? And I think you've answered that question as well. I'm curious if you want to share your thoughts about what might be really important action that people can take relative to the environment and supporting the Earth.
Well, I go round and round about this, actually. You know, recycle your plastic containers. And the truth is, we've known for 20-some years what a nightmare plastic is and is going to be. And there's been absolutely no legislation against it. None.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's political. And I don't know why we can't organize. Tom Hartman said, the left is like a circular firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important thing that we can do is, and I don't know, let me think about this, because for years, it's so great because, you know, we're on the West Coast. That gives us time to call our representatives before we have to be at work because, you know, it's 6 o'clock, they're at their desk.
Right, right.
But it didn't do any good. It hasn't done any good. I've been calling and calling and writing and writing, and unless we can do a general strike, unless people can actually get out of work, stop working, make the wheel stop, we're not listened to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if I had the best Earth Day ever, everybody would walk out of their corporate jobs and they would just play with their dog, play with their kids, and not go to work until they listened. Because we have all the power, and yet we don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to touch upon a subject that's not controversial at all.
hold on to your seats.
we could continue to consume at an extraordinary rate, especially as far as the world's population is concerned, the United States is, you know, consuming at the rate of like two Earths, they say, you know, per person or something. Back when I was at the when I was a banana slug, actually, at UC Santa Cruz.
That's right. That's right.
There were a husband and wife team that was very active in the zero population move. And the population of the United States has doubled, I think, in the last, less than 50 years.
Wow.
And the world's population is right up there in terms of its growth. And although there are certain countries where the population growth has gone down somewhat, some European countries, but for the most part, the population growth continues afoot at an incredibly rapid pace. Nobody talks about population control anymore. Nobody talks about zero population. It's just, I guess, too controversial or too difficult to even talk about, you know, let alone legislate. The Chinese, of course, tried to legislate it for many years. But you need an authoritative kind of government in order to be able to pull that off. Any thoughts on zero population?
Well, the Chinese have actually gone the other way now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They were zero population growth, and now they're encouraging population increase. And I think if you look at it's kind of like the United Nations. In order for the United Nations to work, each country has to give up some of their sovereignty in order to work together to make this work. I think the same thing applies with population growth, that if you're giving up some of your growth potential, you're losing. I mean, you're seen as losing something. I mean, that population does. So I think that's another part of the calculus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, in part, you know, population growth is slowing, and it's slowing fairly dramatically, and a lot of that's linked to economic well-being. Mm-hmm. You know, as countries industrialize, modernize, whatever terms you want to use, population growth starts slowing down. That's not true for much of what we would call the second or third world or whatever. But at least in first world and second world countries, populations already slowing down. And what's fascinating, when you look at what demographers are projecting by 2080, which is what, 60 years from now, population will drop by about 2/3.
Really?
So there's a major population decrease in the future. And the question is, will we make it there? And when we get there, what will happen?
Bruce, is that population or population growth rate?
Population.
Okay.
So, a huge drop in population after 2080. So that's based on you know, sort of birth rates, but also death rates, because look around the room. None of us are younger.
but
2080, most of us are not going to be around. But when I look at my grandsons, who are 2 years old and 6 years old and 9 years old, it's sort of like, wow, what world are they going to be in? Because, you know, in 60 years, they're going to be my age, you know, and sort of what world are they going to be in? That's what's interesting to me. And can we sustain what we're doing right now, which I don't think we can, for the next 60 years until that demographic drop occurs?
Well, I was also going to ask, though, how much of that is related to food production, Bruce? I mean, is this also due to food availability, or
not particularly?
Okay,
is what I understand. And again, you know, I'm not the expert on it, but it, you know, there's some really interesting studies, demographic studies, mm-hmm. have come out mm-hmm. about this sort of looming demographic collapse that's taking place in about the 2070s, 2080s. And so it's fascinating to think, and back to your question, Craig, is, you know, zero population growth. I mean, that's sort of what we grew up with in the 60s and 70s. And yet we didn't do much about it. We all had kids, we all had families, you know, what kind of thing. But what's happening is actually population is slowing down. not certainly not in underdeveloped countries or countries, particularly in the Southern Hemisphere, where population is still exploding. But in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, most industrial first world nations are looking at population deficits in the near future. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating sort of a thing to think about. And then what are the implications economically? You know, will there be enough people to do all the work that needs to be done? Will there be people to harvest the agriculture? You know, and what does it mean for lifestyle? And back to your question, sort of Truman, what will there be food supplies?
Exactly. And you know, one of my big things that I'm concerned about is all of these fuels made from foodstuffs. And I'm thinking, boy, that is a, if you think the oil wars are going to be bad, wait until the food wars start. And you know, I think this is really foolish for us to grow the fuel. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I mean, I like the algae idea, you know, to turn an algae into fuel, but boy, turning corn into fuel makes no sense to me at all. So
the state of things to come, we shall see. So, Tammy, thank you so much for sharing your notion of community building at Earth Day this Saturday at Dig Deep Gardens, bringing people together to find common ground and be able to meet folks that they may have heard of but not had a chance to cross paths with. I think that I will say a couple things. If one of the posters that we're going to have at the Indivisible Vashon booth is going to show the change in progress, legislative progress in the state of Washington on environment and climate issues since we had a Democratic trifecta elected in Olympia. And you can just stop by and see what I will say is a very dramatic change in progress on addressing environmental issues. So if people want to stop by and see that and learn how we can continue that trend, we'll be there to help spread that information. But Tammy, do, again, any last thoughts about Earth Day, and make sure people know how to find you, when, where, and how, okay. Again?
Okay, so we will be at Dig Deep Gardens, which is at 19028 Vashon Highway Southwest, which is just about a mile south of the four-way stop. And Dig Deep is all about creating community, because community is going to save us. No matter what happens, we're going to need each other. And I guess if there's one thing that we could do, it's optimism. That we thank you for saying, oh, I'm going to be showing how we've accomplished what we have done. Because nothing positive happens without people feeling optimistic and putting that psychic energy out there. Yeah, it's working. We can do this. It's gonna happen. So optimism.
Wonderful.
Okay.
One very mundane question. What is the parking situation going to be?
It's going to be just fine.
Is there parking available? Well, there's that optimism for you right there.
Okay. So no, I was over at the pot shop, and I said, do you have your signs? No event parking. And those guys are going to, they're going to take care of that. Okay. So that there's like four places over at Courthouse Square that I don't want you to park, but there's parking all behind Dig Deep and along our north drive.
Okay.
And then there's also all of Courthouse Square. And I think it's kind of nice when people park on the highway, because then you know something big's
happening. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Bruce, do you have a comment?
Just a little historical footnote. You know, the first Earth Day was celebrated on Vashon in 1970. There was actually an Earth Day committee put together.
Aww.
To celebrate Earth Day.
Nice.
The very first Earth Day. And all kinds of things, you know, assemblies at the schools and, you know, recycling events and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the school kids to celebrate Earth Day, actually walked to school rather than ride the buses.
Cool.
And rode horses, walked, all that kind of stuff. But to that sense of optimism, one of the island businesses, Island Mart, to celebrate Earth Day, had a sign in its window. And it's a sort of measure of how much Vashon has changed. The sign said, "Celebrate Earth Day, wash a hippie."
I love it. That's great.
So Vashon doesn't wash their hippies anymore.
All right. Well, unless there's any other questions about Earth Day with Tammy, I hope you're going to stay with us, because now we're going to talk church. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I heard a few stories. Church sounds like it's pretty awesome. What do people want to say?
I have to tell you, that Captain Joe was featured during the church celebration when they brought, quote, Simon and Garfunkel on board, and they sang, instead of Mrs. Robinson, it was Dear Point Robinson, which was absolutely hilarious, and actually was really sweet. I mean, don't you think? I mean, wasn't it just very positive? And speaking of that optimism, anyway, that was the highlight for what. Well, and of course, John Whalen doing the troll. I mean, his troll is over the top, just over the top. So
nice. Any other church stories to share?
Yeah, I thought the Rev's conclusion was rather dramatic, where he took two words. One was nunnery, and the other was
memory.
Memory, right. How appropriate.
How appropriate was that? Yeah.
And he ad-libs those, and he was able to thread it all together. At one point, he goes, and there I did it. I can't believe I actually did it.
But he kind of came full circle, you know? And when he came back around, sometimes his stuff gets a little, out there.
Yeah.
But this one was, it was really amazing to me that he could take those two words and bring them back together.
It was extraordinary creativity.
Yeah, amazing.
It takes a real talent and intelligence to be able to do humor that way.
Yeah, so, that's great.
It was a good show. It was not a good show. It was a great show.
Yep.
On the 4 o'clock show, he had puppy and horse. Oh. And so he blended it in to have the proudness of a horse and the playfulness of a puppy. So we should all be huppies.
Huppies.
I like it.
Yeah, wash your huppy. No.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, let's carry this optimism and maybe some humor into the Washington State Ferries. Big article in the paper just recently about WSF and announcing your position, which we all kind of knew last week. But any new breaking news on the ferry front, perhaps?
Well, I did get the chance to go over to Fauntleroy and talk with the Fauntleroy Community Association and the Fauntleroy Community Advisory Group, which is kind of a subcommittee of Washington State Ferries and the Fauntleroy Dock Renovation Project. And it was a really good conversation with them, just, discovering where we had similarities with the Fauntleroy community, because, of course, I think we can talk about our differences, and for sure we covered some ground and tried to get a little bit more to the middle and, just really understanding and getting to know each other as people and neighbors. And I think, that's something that I'm going to continue to do and work on. And I do want to be clear. A couple of folks have kind of said, oh, you're working for the ferries now. I am not.
No.
I am not in any way affiliated via committee or otherwise with the Washington State Ferries.
Just can you give us a thumbnail of what the plan is for Fauntleroy, or do they know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it is as major government projects are, it is a multi-year planning process. And we're kind of halfway into that planning process now. But we are definitely in the community input stage. And May 7th and 8th, there will be online meetings where you can learn more and give input. But basically, where the ferries have proposed sort of three different models of models. So there's a couple A designs, a couple B designs, and a couple C designs. And the A designs are not much more than renovating and repairing the dock itself, and coming up to, you know, sort of Washington State Ferry regulation. And the A designs are not really, I don't think, the best for Vashon, because it would be a larger footprint, a little bit larger footprint, but even smaller capacity on the dock. Mm-hmm. The dock holds about 80 cars right now, depending. The B models are sort of the very reasonable models, as you will. It expands the footprint and the capacity, but is not sort of a mega dock. And the C models are arguably what Vashon might want the most. They're these very large docks that, you know, have the motorcycle lanes, the bicycle lanes, hold an Olympic class boat. You know, they're much larger. And all of the docks, though, it's interesting, they will have a longer footprint, but not necessarily a wider footprint, because, of course, as part of a government project, they're looking at the environmental concerns, and there's a salmon run there that is actually, you know, to the detriment of the salmon run. The dock is short, and the eelgrass is affected by the prop wash from the dock. So all of the designs include sort of a longer dock to minimize the impact on Cove Park, the little park next door to the dock, and also to get that eelgrass reestablished to keep the salmon run healthy there.
Oh, good.
You know, I just got an email this week about the public meetings, and I'm assuming that people can go to the WSF website and find that, but is there another source maybe?
It's tricky. You know what? We just put up a link on our Chamber of Commerce socials, and we'll put it up on the Islanders for Ferry Action website, which is, we just transferred a domain, fixourferries.org.
Yay.
So that goes to the Islanders for Ferry Action website, and we'll get those registration links up because, you know, it's the WashDOT website. Man, you could troll around in there for a long
time. Okay, thanks for saving people hours
so
of time.
It's not up yet, but if you go to keep your eye on fixourferries.org.
Hey, Amy, last time they renovated the Fauntleroy dock, there was a serious run by the Fauntleroy community to get the dock out of there, to remove it, and have all the Vashon traffic go to downtown Seattle to Coleman Dock. Do you see the community, Fauntleroy community, making that kind of run again?
There is the sentiment, for sure. I think I had a really, really great conversation with Frank and Mike over there, who are on the Fauntleroy CAG and the Fauntleroy Community Association, and, you know, great folks who understand that, you know, we're neighbors and we have differing needs. And there certainly is, you know, the Fauntleroy community is very apprehensive of growth, and many of them would prefer. That's certainly not anything that is a viable sort of sentiment at this point. You know, we are on state highway, right? That Fauntleroy dock is part of a state highway. But there are definitely sites of difference with the Fauntleroy community, and kind of my job and the Islanders for Ferry Action job is to establish sites of shared needs and shared understanding.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just leave this for a final touch on this topic. But as I was reading the article about adjusting the two-boat schedule, the thought came to me, and maybe this is a question, if Washington State Ferries have people to train people how to update the schedule, couldn't they just ask those people to update the schedule?
Are you trying to cross-apply logic in the government?
I'm just letting that sit out there for a while.
I love the government. We are the government. But, you know, and all, you know, all love to the folks at Washington State Ferries who are doing their best every day. But there is process. It is government, and so there is process. So there's community input process that is needed. There is research about the impacts, you know, to travel changes that are needed. There's so much process affiliated with any sort of official government change. We did discover that, you know, everyone at Fauntleroy and Vashon, we share a need for a reliable schedule and getting that two-boat schedule fixed. And there may be the official process is an 18-month long process, but we're hoping that we can find some emergency fixes and have, you know, kind of pitch operating on an emergency schedule.
It, which brings up the question, what kind of a schedule are they talking about as far as renovation goes? Is that something that's going to happen within a year, 2 years, five?
So that we will learn more about that when the project is a little further down the line and they understand the size and scope of the project mm-hmm. and how much of it they can do with the slip operational and how much of it won't be possible with the slip operational. As of right now, a second slip is not included in the budget, and there's going to be significant pushback from the Fauntleroy community and from the budget people about adding that second slip. Yeah. But it is a good question. I don't really see how we get away with not having some kind of time period where we're diverted to Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
But that's something that we will for sure be keeping our eye on.
Okay. Curious.
Yeah. Okay, interesting historical footnote to this is when the Heights Dock opened in the late 1910s, it went downtown Seattle. So it was a Harper, Vashon, downtown Seattle triangle route, if you will. And it wasn't until 1936 there was an election held on the island, a poll really, when people preferred to go to Fauntleroy rather than downtown Seattle because it meant ferries every hour and a half rather than every 2 hours. Wow. And so, you know, it was kind of, we wished it on ourselves to go to Fauntleroy. And in my perspective, it's sort of what saved Vashon from becoming another Bainbridge or Mercer Island. If the ferries had continued to go downtown to the Marion Street Dock or the Coleman Dock, you know, we would have become another Bainbridge. We would have been a very easy commute from downtown Seattle. And that doesn't come about until the 1990s. With a walk-on ferry. Hmm. So Fauntleroy sort of has saved Vashon from developing in the, particularly in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, up until the late 80s when the passenger-only ferry comes in. Hmm. So we can thank our forebears on Vashon Island who had the foresight to go to Fauntleroy rather than to continue to go downtown Vashon. Yeah. But it has created this conflict with the Fauntleroy community.
Hmm. All right. Well, did you want to... So, Bruce, thank you for the historical note. I'm wondering, as we look forward in history, is yesterday going to appear in tomorrow's history books, do you think? And how will it show up?
this is really a question for Craig, but yeah, I think certainly. I mean, just the fact that a U.S. president is in court for a criminal case is pretty interesting, and that will make it. And I think whether or not the trial stays in New York City or gets moved to another venue will be another interesting sort of piece of it because, you know, the polarization right now, and Craig, you might want to speak to this, it's sort of like how do you find a jury of your peers when a person has no peers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens in every small city and town in the United States on a daily basis, where everybody knows everybody. So I don't think the case will be moved. I think that the process they're going through right now is a good process, that they will. It's always that sleeper juror that you're worried about who's trying to get on there, who's hiding their real motivations. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. But I think that it's what I've seen so far is an affirmation of the American system of justice. Just to leave you with a thought, I saw an interview with a juror who got kicked off, a very articulate young woman. She got kicked off because she was involved in cybersecurity and a number of things. And she said, you know, I was when I first walked into the courtroom and I saw Trump, I thought to myself, geez, it's just another guy in a suit. She said, that's the way I would have approached the jury of duty had I been on there. Hmm. So I have a lot of faith in the jury system. Sometime we can talk about the art of picking jurors, which is a whole different thing, but I'm encouraged.
And I appreciate the optimism that we can carry forward. And, of course, we'll have an opportunity in the coming weeks, you know, to reflect more deeply on that, perhaps. Bruce, I want to give a quick shout-out to who's joining us next week.
Yes, Dan Chasen. Many of you know Dan, writer on the island, environmental writer for the last 40 years, and just an interesting person who's been on the school board for several decades and has been very active in the Vashon community and sort of carrying on this sort of Earth Day theme into what he's been doing as an environmental writer for most of his career.
And a quick thing. I will probably not be here next week. I'm going to be back east, but I may try and come in via Zoom. So.
Oh, awesome. All right. We will carry on. And so for this week, Tammy, Amy, Craig, Truman, Bruce, and myself say thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking next week.